Well, how many of you are awake this morning? And you're ready to think? Okay? I hope you are. All of you that have ever prepared a lesson or a sermon know that in your preparation, there are highs and lows. There are times that you dig and you dig and you dig. There are other times you sit down and you study a verse or a topic and it's like, you know, boom, it just opens up to you. I don't know if I have ever had more lows in my study than I've had this week in studying what it means to be in Christ. I have labored probably harder, and you may not believe it once you hear the lesson, but I really did study and have read and read and studied and prayed in trying to discern what it means for a believer to be in Christ. There have been a few moments when I said, I got it. And then 10 minutes later I said, I don't got it. This is really a mystic concept. It's not something you can see, and I suppose really in reality, we will never know what it means to be in Christ till we get to heaven. But I want to try to help you as much as I can in our physical understanding to know what it means to be in Christ. Now, the first part of the lesson will be trying to nail down what it means to be in Christ. Then we're going to apply it. Now, to be honest with you, the application is probably easier than the explanation. But we want to do all we can to try to help you. We're going to start back in Colossians chapter 1, in verse 1 and 2. In Colossians chapter 1, we are studying through the book of Colossians. Last week we saw two relationships that a believer has. We saw, first of all, that a believer has a relationship to other believers. They are called what? What's that relationship? Brethren. All right, they're brethren. We also saw that there was a relationship to the world and to sin. And that is in the term what? Saint. A saint is one who has been called out. They are separated from sin. They're separate from the world. They're brethren. And now today we look at the third term in verse 2, and that is in Christ. Let's read verse 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus our brother, to the saints, there's the first one, and faithful brethren, there's the second one, here's the third one, two little words, in Christ, which are at Colossae. Now, by the way, and we'll talk about this more later on, but the word at and the word in are the same Greek word. So there's a parallel. He says, you're in Christ, but you're also in Colossae. And he said, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, first of all, this morning, I want to talk about the position of being in Christ. And in doing that, I want to really nail down that word in. Okay? Now, I am not a Greek scholar, never have been, never will be. I did survive 2 years of it, but it was close, especially the second year. First year was all memorization. That was good at that. Second year was all application. That was kind of a struggle. But the word, and you, if you have a Strong's Concordance, in fact, Bob Gilbert, I don't see Bob this morning, but Bob actually sent me an email with this very words he got out of his Strong's Concordance. The word has a primary preposition denoting a fixed position in place, time, or state. Now, the thing I want you to remember, those two words. Fixed position. I never do this. Let's say those two words together. Here we go. Fixed position. Got it? Here it is one more time. Fixed position. When you are in something, you're in a fixed position. Now, the word is translated many different ways in our King James Version. It's translated at, which we see in verse 2 also, at Colossae, with, through, among, upon, or by, all of these things. The word is found over 2,100 times in the New Testament. And I looked at every one of them this week because I wanted to know what this word means. And it's used a multitude of times specifically saying that they were in a specific place. They were in Bethlehem. They were in Egypt. They were in the house. They were in, or he was in, the whale's belly, as Christ talked about Jonah. They were in a ship. Here in Colossians 1:2, they were in Colossae. It is a fixed position. Okay? Now, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and 22. 15:22. Now, again, if you're here in La La Land today, I probably have already lost you. Okay? You got to engage your mind this morning. This is a great truth, great application, but you got to think. And I know it's Sunday. You shouldn't have to think on Sunday. But you got to hang with me, okay? Here's a good one from our pastor. Stay with me. Stay with me. Come on. Stay with me. Already lost some of you, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 22. We find the word used twice in this passage. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So we see that our relationship to Adam is similar to our relationship in Christ. Now, all of the things I'm going to give you in this first part are similar to our relationship to Christ. None of them are the same. There is nothing that's the same as. But they're all synonymous with our relationship in Christ. He says, you are in Adam. Now, how are you in Adam? Physically, you're in Adam. How? You were born into the race. He is our federal head. You have the same nature as Adam, which, by the way, is what kind of nature? It is a sinful nature. Adam and Eve, of course, were created perfectly, but through the fall, they lost that perfect standing and they were separated from God. Now, by the way, God told them, if you eat of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will do what? You will die. Did they die the moment they ate it? Oh, yeah, that's a trick question. And most of you got it. Yes, they did die spiritually because they were separated from God, weren't they? They hid from God. They were cast out of the garden. The cherubims were placed there. They could not come back in the garden. If you read on in Genesis chapter 5, and it says, and Adam lived a certain number of years and he died. So all of those things, they took place because of the fall. Now, Adam's sin affected you and affected me. In Romans 5:12 it says, wherefore, as by one man, who was Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now, because of our relationship to Adam, we are born spiritually dead. Okay? We are in Adam. We cannot fellowship with God. If something is not done, we will die and spend eternity in hell. Now, in this same verse, he says, look, as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. If you are in Adam physically, you can be in Christ spiritually. There is a unity with Adam. There is also a unity with Christ. Now, how are we placed in Christ? I'll just throw that out to you. We are placed, we have a unity of Christ. When does it take place? Salvation. How is it done? Okay, we're accepting Christ as our Savior. New birth. Turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. I'm looking for a specific word, but I probably didn't have a specific enough question to get that word. Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Now, you hear this verse often, this passage, in a baptismal service. But this passage really is not about water. Okay? Now, water is a picture of what is we're going to read about here. But notice in verse 3, know ye not that so many of us as were, notice, baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death. How did you get into Jesus Christ? How did this unity take place? You were baptized. Now, by the way, that word baptized is really what word? It's baptizo in the Greek, but what does the word mean? Immersed. Now here's the picture. When you got saved, you were immersed into Christ. Now remember, all these are pictures of the relationship. We can't see the relationship, but they're all pictures. We are immersed. When we baptize people, do we sprinkle? Why not? Well, that's not what the word means. It means to be plunged in, to be totally surrounded by water. Immersed. We don't pour, we don't sprinkle, we don't use a little holy water, whatever. Why? Because it's a picture of how we are placed into Christ. We are immersed into Christ. That is our union with Christ. Now again, you say, huh? Well, again, these are all pictures of the total unity, the fusion that we have with Christ. We are baptized into Christ. Now, who does that? Well, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, and you know, hang in there. I know this is a little strange, but hang in there. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 12. For as the body is one... Now, let's stop for a second. You have a body, right? Now, probably most of us wish our body wasn't quite as big as it is, but you've got one. And your body has many members, but it's just one body. You've got hands, you've got feet, you've got ears, you've got a nose, you've got eyes, all these things. Separate members, but you've got one body. Okay? You may not feel like it this morning, but you really do. You've got one body. All right. Now, here's the illustration. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Here's what happens. Now, the charismatics, by the way, talk about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They probably don't say it quite that way. What did I say? Baptism. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. And for them, they say it's an event that occurs after salvation. It is a second work of grace. They're wrong. You, in fact, are baptized. And by the way, they say when you get baptized by the Holy Ghost, you do what? You speak in tongues. Wrong again. Okay? When a person is saved, what happens, though you never see it, though you may not feel it, the Holy Spirit of God places you, He baptizes you, He immerses you into the body of Christ. By the way, we talked about this last week. What a wonderful thought. Now, Mark and I are together. I mean, we are unified. We are in the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. Okay? You is it, man. We are the body. Every one of us. Rick Baker and I. Rick was born where? Here. Not right here, probably, but in this general area. Okay. I was born in Eureka, California. My parents have no relationship to your parents, but you know something? Rick and I are one. We are one. We are all part of the body of Christ. We have been placed together in the body of Christ. Not only are we one, but we are one with Christ. We are fused with Christ. There is a spiritual unity that we have with Christ. The Holy Spirit of God places us in the body of Christ. We are immersed in the body of Christ. Now, isn't that, you understand it all now, don't you? Aren't I a great teacher? Well, you won't understand it all, and I won't either. All of these things, folks, are designed to help us understand. Now, it's interesting. As I studied in the Gospels, in Christ is never mentioned except in the Gospel of John. And the Lord is talking about the fact that He's going to leave and He's going to send a Comforter. And when that Comforter comes, He says, I'm going to be in you, and you are going to be in me. So that's a foretelling. And that occurred when? At Pentecost for the first time. But every time. Now think about when you got saved. If you're a believer, if you're a child of God, think about when you got saved. Now, I was only 5 years old. Didn't have a clue. I still don't have a clue. But think about this. Think about it. The moment by faith you said, I'm lost. I am a sinner. And you turned to Christ. And you placed your faith in what Christ did on Calvary. The moment you did that, the Holy Spirit of God baptized you into Christ. Immersed you in the body of Christ. And there is a great unity. Again, you can't see it. You may not understand it all until we get to heaven. But it is a great, great truth, folks. We are one in Christ. We have been immersed or fused together into the body of Christ. Now, that's the hard part. All right? Now, so what? So what? There's the process. What are the products of being in Christ? Oh, this is good. Number one. the security of the believer. Now, think logically with me. Now, there are some great verses about the security of the believer. John 10:27-28 My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And what a picture. We think, oh, we get saved, we're placed in the Father's hands, and there we are. That's pretty good. But think about this. When you get saved, not only are you placed in the Father's hand, but look. It's not just that, but it's, we become one. We become one. Now, if I am one with Christ, can Christ go to hell? So can you. For a believer to go to hell, they would have to be torn from the unity that they have in Christ. That's not possible. Now, I know that there are people who make a profession of faith and live like the devil their whole life. Now, I'm not God, but more than likely what happened was the unity never took place. There was a profession, but there was no fusing, there was no unity, there was no baptizing into the body of Christ. Because, my friend, if you're in the body of Christ, you're going to be in the body of Christ for all eternity. You are one with Christ. What a great truth. I mean, that ought to thrill your soul. That's exactly right. Yeah, His Spirit and our spirit work together to say, hey, you're one of them. You're exactly right. Now, think about this. Now, that one is a direct response to our unity of Christ. But think about Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. You say, I have been born again. All right, if you've been born again, you are in Christ Jesus. Now, by the way, before you got saved, the Bible says you were condemned already. You were under the wrath of God. Because of your sin, because of our rebellion against God, we had broken His law, we were under God's wrath. Jesus Christ came and paid for our sin, took our condemnation upon Himself, and paid for our sin. When we trust Christ, we are unified with Christ, and there is no condemnation. Later on in that chapter, in Romans chapter 8, it says, who is he that condemneth? By the way, all those questions are no or nobody. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather it is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Folks, as a child of God, your spirit may condemn you, the devil may condemn you, your co-workers may condemn you, your wife will definitely condemn you. No, she won't. My wife's here today. I've got to be good. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. Wow. Anybody having supper today or lunch, I can come over and share with you. My wife knows me pretty well. If anybody can condemn me, she can, because she knows me the way I really am. But folks, no one can condemn you. Because why? Because you're in Christ. You're unified with Christ. The payment has been made. If you're in Christ, there is no condemnation. Oh, here's another good one. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. How you doing? You doing all right? Stay with me? Okay? At least humor me. Shake your head, yes. All right, good. I'm not sure I'm with me, so. Ephesians chapter 2. Yeah, here's another mysterious concept. This is amazing. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together. Now, by the way, this is all past tense. And He hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ha! Where is Christ today? Heaven? Seated. Why is He seated, by the way? And we'll talk more about this in a minute. His work's done. Work is done. He's seated at the right hand of God. And Paul says, in your unity with Christ, in your fusion with Christ, where are you seated today? You are seated with Christ in heavenly places. I mean, our glorification is so certain that right now, if you're a believer, you are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Can someone explain that to me? It's mysterious. It's amazing. But boy, it ought to thrill your soul. I mean, salvation, folks, if you're a believer, you're going to go to heaven. And here's a great one, too. 2 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead, what are the next two words? In Christ, I forgot my train of thought. Where am I? Shall rise first. Thank you. The dead in Christ are going up, folks. Why? Because there's a unity. There's a fusion with Christ. We are secure. We are secure in Christ. Oh, here's another great one. Back in Colossians. Now, we've already talked about this. So I won't take a whole lot of time. But Colossians 2:10. Now, remember the context. In the church of Colossae, there were a bunch of philosophers that have come in, and they were saying, you know, Christ is not enough. You need visions. You need further knowledge. You need to keep the holy days. You need to do it. By the way, you turn on your television to the religious channels, you're going to find the same things being said. If you ever want to get sick, watch TBN. Is that what it is? That's for, and that lady with the weird hair and everything. And she's actually, that's Jimmy Hoffa. No, just kidding. It's amazing what makeup can do. But what a bunch of junk. You know, and the whole thing is you've got to have more. Christ is not enough. Now, that's what was going on in the church of Colossae. You know, that's what's going on in most churches today. Christ is not enough. Yeah, trust Christ, then you've got to do this and this and this and this. Now look what Paul says. Colossians chapter 2 and verse. We'll start in verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Now notice. Now look, I want you to think here. Look. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In whom? So that means what? Yeah, back up a step. If God's fullness dwells in Christ, what does that mean? I don't know if I heard or not. I heard mumbling. Speaking in tongues. What does it mean? What does that mean about Christ? He's God, all right? All God's fullness is in Christ, all right? Now, let's read on. And it says in verse 10, and ye are complete in Him which is the head of all principality and power. Now, folks, let me ask you a question. If Christ was God, then that means His sacrifice was sufficient because He was perfect. In His perfection, He could pay for our sins. In his manhood, His humanity, He could die for our sins. And when He died, folks, His sacrifice was enough. Aren't you glad for those three words that Christ said on the cross? And here's the thrust of the gospel. When Jesus died on the cross, He said, "It is almost done. I've done most of it, and if you do some of this stuff, it'll all be done." What did He say, folks? He said, "It is finished. It's done. It's paid for. It's complete. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. For by grace are you saved through faith." Wow. It is finished. It is done. I love Isaiah 53. You know the context. All we like sheep have gone astray. And it's a prophetic passage about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, "He, which is God, shall see the travail of His soul and shall be satisfied." Christ's work is enough. And what is Paul saying? He's saying, believer, my friend, if you're in Christ, the work is complete. You are complete. It's done. It's finished. It's over with. By the way, and this is a different thought, but we're complete in Him in every way. If you have Christ spiritually, what else do you need? Now, I'll be honest with you, and I remember a preacher talking about this,
Preacher Lasley, when he was a young pastor or in seminary, and he wanted more. You know, he wanted all there was you could have spiritually. And he went to a charismatic service. And they took him in the back room. You know, if you want the fullness of spirit, and he said they had said, okay, close your eyes and empty your mind and just start letting your mouth make noises. And he said, I knew it wasn't of God, and I left. Folks, everywhere you go, people say there's more you have to do. There's other things if you don't do this. And I'll be honest with you, there are times I felt like that in my Christian life. I felt like, boy, I wish I could do something else, or, you know, experience something else. I wish I had more. Folks, we don't need any more. Everything you need is in Christ. We are complete in Him. Boy, 2 Peter 1:3 says, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Folks, it's all in Christ. That's all you need. You don't need some wild experience. If you've ever gone knocking on doors or soul winning, you've heard some wild stories. If you died today, oh yeah, I'd go to heaven. How do you know? Well, let me tell you. There was this time. And you know, and I saw these things. And I heard these things. And oh, it was so... Everybody's got this mysterious experience, you know? No. Experience isn't going to help you when you stand before God, folks. It's being in Christ. We are complete in Him. You have everything you need in Christ. It's all there for the taking. Wow, folks, we're in Christ. There's great security. We ought to just get up and take two or three laps around the building and praise the Lord. Hallelujah for the security in Christ. Now, let me give you one other. Not only that, but we need to think about the salvation of the believer, the sanctification of the believer. That is the cleansing work of Christ. Turn to 2 Corinthians 5:17. This is a very familiar passage. You know this. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Oh, by the way, what are our two words? Fixed position. Yeah, I'm sorry. That wasn't a very good question. Both of you are right. In Christ, fixed position. It is a fixed position. We're in Christ. All right. Now look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ... Now, the reason I thought of that, in my Bible, I've written by in, fixed position, okay? Be in Christ. He is a new creature, a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now, think about it. When you get saved, you become one with Christ. Is that not a new creation? A new creature? In 2 Peter 1:4 says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. You're born with Adam's nature. You get saved. You get Christ's nature. And the one who's in Christ will become more and more like Christ. Have you ever noticed how people who have been married a long time look like each other? You ever notice that? I'm blessed. My wife is here. You know, I'm hoping to, you know, it'll help me some as we go along here. But they, you know, they act kind of the same. They kind of talk the same. They think the same. Well, they've spent their whole life together. I mean, the Wamplers are identical twins. I mean, they've been married for 80 years. Not quite that long. 60. How long? 66 years. I bet you know what Joe's thinking right now. What are you thinking, Joe? Joe's thinking, are you serious? 66 years? He's thinking, no, woman was 65. 66 years. That's wonderful, by the way. Praise Him. In June. Yeah, see, that's why Joe was thinking 65. See, he knew it wasn't until June. He said, we ain't made that far yet, honey. Right. Now look, when you're united with Christ, if you're in Christ, you're a new creature, you're going to change. You're going to have different desires. You're one with Christ. You're going to be changing. You'll be sanctifying. In Colossians 3, I'm going to have to hurry here to get done, but look in Colossians 3. We're thinking about sanctification, the setting apart from sin, this change to become like Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Then in Colossians chapter 3, remember we talked about the fact that we're risen with Christ? You know, really, when you got saved, you were placed in Christ. It was almost as if... I don't think that's for me. It's not like a harp from heaven. Is that a sign? That's right. Yeah, I've had an experience now. I was teaching one day, and all of a sudden... Oh, my. Where am I anyway? Oh, risen. It was almost as if we were risen. When we got saved, we went back and we died with Christ. We died to sin and its bondage. We were risen with Christ. We're alive today, and we're seated in heaven. And He said, if you're risen with Christ, then what? Seek those things which are above. Hey, supernaturally, you are seated with Christ in heaven right now. And what should we be doing? Wow. Seek those things which are above. Boy, that's hard, isn't it? I mean, we got all the junk going on in the world and all this stuff. And everywhere you go, your eyes are bombarded. Your ears are bombarded. I can't even say the word. Bombarded, thank you. And yet, we're supposed to be seeking those things which are above. We've got to pay our bills, we've got to work, we've got to do all this stuff. And the Lord said, look, you're seated in heaven, you're risen with Christ. Seek those things which are above. I'm going to skip that one for sake of time. Let me get to this one. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Another familiar passage. Okay, verse 15. Got it? 1 Corinthians 6:15. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? All right, is that what we've been talking about all morning? Yes. Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? That physical relationship in marriage makes two one. Okay? He said, look, are you going to go and be with a harlot and make that one body for two? One body? But he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit, so flee fornication. Well, what is he saying? Well, wait a minute. You're one with Christ. Let me ask you a question. When you went that place this week and you thought no one saw you, guess what? You took Christ with you. We're one with Christ. Wow. If we're one with Christ, that ought to change the way we behave, shouldn't it? One with Christ. Let me give you one other thing that we've done. Philippians 4:13. I know I've had you look at a lot of things, and I've skipped a few things here, so we'll get done. But Philippians 4:13. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Another familiar passage. Now, I want you to look through that passage. And it says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And you're going to say right away, wait a minute, it doesn't say a thing about being in Christ. Guess what? That word translated through, same word as in. It's the same Greek word. Guess what? I can do all things. Why? Because I'm in Christ. And when you're in Christ, Christ is strengthening you. I kind of picture it like a dad and his three-year-old boy. We've had this some over here. The Guzman kids, they're a riot. And whenever we're cleaning up, they want to help clean up. You know? And you'd rather say, hey, you know, kid, look, we're trying to get this done. You know? Because it takes four of them to carry a chair, you know? And so dad comes along and he picks up the chair and then little Caleb was helping him out and Caleb's going along. Man, look what we're doing, man. We are so strong, you know? Man, I'm doing this. No, his dad's doing all the work. But what a picture of the Christian life. We're in Christ. We have all the strength of Christ available to us. All the wisdom of Christ available to us. All the power of Christ. Why? Because we're in Christ. Therefore, I can do all things. Why? Because I'm in Christ. Yeah, I know it's God's doing all the work and we're getting all the credit. But, you know, and we're taking all the credit. Maybe that's what it is. But we're in Christ. Now, again, I know that that I have not probably given you a whole lot of help here today. But I want you to meditate this week. If you're a believer, if you're a child of God, you're in Christ. You are in Christ. You have been fused with Christ. You are in the body. You are the body of Christ. You are one with Christ. Now again, I can't explain all that. I just know it's true because the Bible teaches it. And therefore, as a believer, if you are truly a child of God, my, you have security in your faith because you're one with Christ. And also as a believer, in one with Christ, we need to be separating ourselves from sin, becoming more like Christ every day. Partaking of the divine nature. See, you can rejoice in your salvation today, and we should, but hey, how about a little application this week when you're getting ready to yell at somebody or say something you shouldn't think or think something you shouldn't think or do something you shouldn't do, and you say, oh, wait a minute, I'm one with Christ. Can't do that. Can't do that. And become like Christ this week. In Christ. We are in Christ. Well, I just pray the Lord help us to get a grasp on this thing. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. I think it'll change our lives. We do. Lord, we thank you for this great truth. And Lord, I have struggled and studied and prayed all week. And even this morning, you know my feelings of inadequacy in giving this lesson. But I pray that somehow the Spirit of God would take this truth in my life and make it real. Oh God, may I be overcome by this great thought that I'm in Christ. And may it change my life. May it change the way I live. May it change me to become more like you and be a partaker of the divine nature. Lord, in a real way, even today, change me to be like you, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.